Thank you, Pastor Dan. Indeed, every fifth Sunday, I will give the announcement for main service. So today is my first time here on a Saturday for Saturday service. Should you do something for me? Pastor Darren is so kind. Pastor Darren said, later I'll pass you a newcomer back. Okay, thank you, Pastor Darren. Okay, back on the topic of worship. Why do worship matters to me? Why do worship matters to you? What is so important and what is so defining about worship that with or without, it will affect us? Can I suggest to you that worship matters because God matters? If God does not matter to you, so we worship. Because worship is an integral part of our lives, of the lives of people who believe in God. Is it an amen, church? Last week, our beloved senior pastor has given us an overview about the 7 strategies. You know, one thing I love about BBTC is we are full of strategies. Okay? And of course, we call it pillars. What do we call it, pillars? Look around. What does a pillar mean? What are they doing? They are holding up the building. So these pillars, the 7 pillars, is to build the church, is to hold the church, is so that we all become intentional disciple maker, priests and kings. Well done, you learned well, okay? So what is anointed worship? Usually worship in the contemporary church services is associated with singing, music, and even some context, lighting, or even the smell. But anointed worship is more than just singing. Just that our SP has defined for us. Anointed, not just worship, anointed is more. Because anointed means Holy Spirit led. Holy Spirit enable. Holy Spirit guiding. Therefore, anointed worship means Holy Spirit is leading you in worship. Of course, the question is Holy Spirit leading you? So, after all the definition, okay, after the video, after last week's sermon, okay, how exactly anointed worship looks like? How many of you want to experience anointed worship? How many of you would love to experience another worship? You know, we enjoy worship so much. Today, I got my buddy Joel. I said, Joel, why not? Let's do something special. Since anointed worship is more than just worship. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the worship team to lead us in an anointed time of worship. Come on, Joel. And guys, do you agree that BBTC worship team has been a blessing to us? If you think so, let's give them a big hand. Thank you, worship team. And I invite you to stand because nothing beats experiencing anointed worship. So, Joel, my buddy, all yours.
When the pastor calls, you got to come, right? So let's worship the Lord together. Shall we? Are you guys ready? Smile, lah. Let's worship the Lord, shall we? Let's walk in the Holy Spirit. You familiar with this song? Let's worship the Lord.
There's nothing one more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is.
I think they still do a good job. Let's give them a big hand, okay? Thank you. You guys may be seated. Okay. Just a question. How many of you noticed something not right in between? A handful of y'all, okay? Those of you who are not affected, you are blessed, okay? Those of you who are more musically inclined, you will feel it. SP, give me a big stare. What's happening? Okay. By the way, this is a created experience. You see, how many of you are aware that something is wrong with the whole music, but you are still able to worship God? How many of you? Wow, you got PPDC so well. You give yourself a hand, man. Church, this is the point. This is the point that I'm trying to emphasize. Regardless of the music, regardless of the sound, even the aircon spoil, regardless, worship is more. And that's why in BBDC, we call it anointed worship. God must lead you. Not the music lead you. Not the worship leader lead you. Not the aircon lead you so you song. No. But the Holy Spirit must lead you no matter what. If you want to build an anointed worship culture, we need to understand it is more than just music. Anointed worship culture needs an important ingredient. Those of us who make cake, we know that there's always some ingredient that is very key. But BBTC, if you want to build a culture of anointed worship needs anointed worshipper. How many of you want to be an anointed worshipper of God? Come on. Praise God, you are in the right place. Those of you who are not sure, I pray that along the way, the Holy Spirit will lead you. Okay? Shall we pray? And seek the Holy Spirit, the true source of all anointing. Come, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you and we praise you for leading BBTC in anointed worship. Today, open the eyes of our hearts to help us to understand what it means to worship you. What it means to be led by you, to be that anointed worshipper that render to you true worship. Lord, help us, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. Even as we hear your word, would you speak to us personally so that we will have breakthrough to be that anointed worshipper, to be that true worshipper that worship you in spirit and in truth. We give thanks. We give you full permission, Holy Spirit, to move in this place. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From today's sermon, we will learn from an anointed biblical character that is known as a man after God's heart. Who is that? David. Very good. If you have read the scripture, you have known that this man, before he became an anointed king of Israel, he was first an anointed worshipper of God. You know, when he played the lyre, the evil spirit flees. The evil spirit fled. Can you imagine if all our musicians, they are so filled with the spirit, no evil can reside in this place because this is an anointed house of God. Is it amen, church? So this is what we're trying to achieve. And today we learn from this man. But you must understand that this man, very interesting, he really gives all out. Of course, from the picture, you will know that he danced until his clothes, his pants, or whatever dropped. But yet, he gave his all, being undignified, to dance before the presence of God when the ark, which represents God's manifested presence, returned to the city of David. David was not a man without flaws, and yet in his ups and his downs, in his full honesty, in his brokenness, in his humility, God has led him to write 73 out of the 150 Psalms, which many of us have memorized. And many of these Psalms have become the song of our hymns, our contemporary song. For example, Psalms 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do you know it's from the Psalms? Read the Bible. Okay? Another Psalms, example, Psalm 16. You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer. You see, when the Christian writer writes songs, they are inspired by the scripture. They are led by the Spirit of God to write all these songs. So, of course, we know the author of these Psalms, David. And today we will turn to another familiar Psalm, Psalms 27, the Psalms of David. Allow me to read to you. If you have the Bible, you can turn with me. If not, the scripture is on the PowerPoint. Let me read to you verse 1 to 6 to have an insight of the life of David. How does an anointed worshipper look like? Reading from verse 1, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. This is the beautiful one. Verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will consume me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around. And I will offer in his tent sacrifice of shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Let me give you a background. This Psalms 27, there's two parts. The first six verse speaks of David's confidence in the Lord. If you have the Bible, you read on. The next six verse, very interesting. David suddenly changed mode. Okay? He said that, I cry out, Lord, hide not your face. Cast me not. My father and mother forsaken me. My enemy are all running towards me. Help, help, help. Does it sound like us? One moment spiritual high. One moment, you know, we are so spiritually dry. And yet, this anointed worshipper of God, in the final two verses of Psalm 27, he reaffirmed his confidence in the Lord, knowing that God will eventually take care of him. Scholars have speculated that this could be written during the time where he was fleeing from King Saul's jealousy pursuit, or during the betrayal of his own son, Absalom. Nevertheless, it is sufficient to tell us that David continued to worship and desire God, even in trouble and in pain. Such is an anointed worshipper that we are learning from today. The key question today is, what are the key attributes of an anointed worshipper of God? learning from David. 3 points. First, dedicated devotion. It means that don't be distracted. Number two, daily dwelling in the presence of God. 3, delighting desire. Enjoy God and let God enjoy you. Let me explain to you along the way. Point number one, dedicated devotion. Psalm 37, 4a. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after. Church, you know, it's one thing to ask, it's another thing to seek. You ask and you seek, it shows something. It shows that cheap is not talk. Sometimes we sing, God, I will worship you. But actually, do you worship? But David asked, David seek. It shows his dedicated devotion to the Lord. Question, why David asked for one thing? Why not ask two things? It's okay, one. Why David asked for one thing? You look at the life of David. If you study Psalm 27, you realize that there are many things that is affecting David. Verse 1 talks about fear, evil men harming his life, wars, troubles, enemy. Verse 7 talks about his doubt and anxiety towards God. He doubt God, say, God, are you there? You know? And verse 9 talks about he feel abandoned by God. He felt abandoned by God. And verse 10 talks about my father and mother forsaken me. His loved one forsaken him. Accusation and violence. In the midst of that tornado of mess, David recognized one thing that was needed. That was to come back to God. It is in that tornadoes of mess, David recognized one thing that was needed. That was to come back to God. For David recognized who God was to him. Because you read in verse 1, he said that God is his light in the darkness. He is the savior in the trouble. He's the stronghold. He's like the wall of protection around David. And verse 2, he's the avenger for his people. Verse 5 talk about he is the shelter from all troubles. And he is the victory because God will lift up his people above all the enemies. Reflection question for us. Are you in that tornado of mess that are distracting you from worshipping God? Maybe that is why some of us, we find it hard to quickly connect with God during service. Maybe some of us, we find it difficult to worship God because there are many things that's going on. Friends, let's learn from David. One thing is needed. That is to come back to God. Your dedicated devotion matters to Him. Let me share with you a personal story. About 6 years ago, I was on the way to church to conduct a cell leader training. I'm teaching on how to conduct cell worship. So I came from Pasuri, so I exit PIE. And as I was exiting PIE near to the Bedok Green Secondary School, if you know where am I, near Red Swastika, I see right side clear. I was about to turn. Suddenly this Honda Jazz jam brake. You don't ask me why they jam brake. I also don't know why she jam brake. Okay, nothing. Sorry, get me. I don't mean anything. Suddenly she jam brake, okay? And you guess what? I kissed the car, okay? So I get out of the car and I when you're about to teach, you know, you just feel so much frustration. It's like, I'm going to be late, you know. Pastor Darren is waiting for me. The time he was a youth pastor, okay? And I'm his assistant, so I'm about to go to teach. I say, oh, everybody is waiting for me, you know. And I quickly get down. Then she nag and nag and nag and say, okay, sorry, ma'am, no, it's my fault. Then you take my deck down my number. Never mind, get the daughter to call me. Make sure that's my real number. Check IC, see. How come IC and my face different? Okay. So on and so forth, managed to pacify her. Then finally, she go into her car, I go into my car. Then I start to drive back to church. But I tell you, that stretch from Bedok Green Secondary School to BBDC seems like eternity. A lot of things going through my mind. Xiao liao, how to pay for the repair? my insurance going to jack up like siao on the next year, you know. What am I going to tell my wife, you know? What am I going to tell, you know, what my peers, you know? My peers will think that, wow, your driving is, you know, only every time lost, your driving was so lousy, you know. So many things in my mind. Finally, I was about to reach the gate of BBTC. Of course, I'm very thankful the gate in this world you have trouble. Take heart, God has overcome the world. Thank you, SP, for that word. I say, God, I know in this world I will have trouble. Car accident, mini car accident. But you will take care of me. I take deep breath. I compose myself. Now I'm going to meet the young people. Not sometimes pastor, just everything's okay, zai, steady. They are walking to the class. Then Pastor Darren look at me. Hey, Jeff, you still can teach or not? I don't know what came into me. I say, guys, worship is beyond circumstances. I don't know why it become a joke, you know. I began to lead worship. I began to teach. I began to facilitate. But you know something? The lesson about worship was never so real until I have to choose to worship God even in difficult situations. And that is a valuable lesson that I learned about worship. Being a worshiper of God. One thing is needed in a tornado of mess that we are in. Our dedicated devotion. To worship Him for who He is. To worship Him for what He has done. His promises. And to rest assured that He will take care of you. He will take care of us. So what are the attributes of anointed worshipper? Dedicated devotion. And what is David dedicated to? Point number two, daily dwelling in the presence of God. Psalms 24, 4b. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Wow. All the days of my life. David wanted to dwell in the presence of God daily. There was deep longing and seeking of God. What does dwell mean? Dwell, the Strong Concordance defined the Hebrew words of dwell as sitting in, remaining, and inhabiting. It's just like newly married couple, where we buy a new house, we got a nice renovated living room, we realize that we don't feel like going anywhere, but just dwell in the house. You feel song in a new house. Nice paint, even the paint smell, that's wow, so song, I got my own house. It's the dwelling, inhabiting. Why is this house of the Lord? You know, you first read this scripture, you would think that this house of the Lord is like, wow, majestic, like BBTC, that's so nice, you know, nice building. But during David's time, this house of the Lord is the tabernacle of David. It is nothing much except for just a tent. Okay? It's like David stayed in Clearwater Condominium, but he spent most of the time at East Coast Park. You know that kind of contrast? Can you see? Can, cannot? Okay, so this is the actual building. So David, even though he stayed comfortably in the palace, but yet David wants to hang out in the tent of God. If you are not convinced why David got beautiful house, remember he walked at the rooftop. Not to chang wu ding, but he went to the rooftop. And of course, we know the story. But yet he desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. Take note that was Old Testament. In New Testament, we have that, we can have the free access to the presence of God. 1,000 years after King David, Jesus came. He died for us at the cross. He paid for our sin. His blood has covered us. And therefore we can enter into the presence of God with full confidence. This is the privilege that we have as New Testament believer. You and I can have the full access of God. Not only that, have you ever met a man or woman of God that daily dwells in the presence of God? Have you met men of God? I have one of my mentors, one of the elders. You know, every time when I meet him, I know I sound exaggerating, but I kid you not. Every time I come out from the meeting, I felt that I met God. His words, his conviction, even his WhatsApp to me, I felt that God is speaking to me. Such is a man of God that dwells daily in the presence of God. I hope you are inspired to spend time daily in the presence of God. But you will also realize that you will not desire that dwelling in the Lord unless you have a relationship with God. You will not hang out with people that you don't like. You will love to hang out with people that you love. People that you like. Because that speaks of your intimacy with God. When you long for the daily dwelling in the presence of God, that will speak of your intimacy with Him. I want to share with you a testimony of Sophia Chua. Some of you may know she's one of my youth cell leader. You know, I always observe her. I mean, sometimes as leaders, we observe people. No, I observe her that she's always the first to come to the front during worship service. Or even during W&I. Very interesting. No one gave altar call. She only came out. You know, and during altar call, she will just come. And when you want to pray for her, it is not there's one sole reason why she comes to the front. She wants to be in the presence of God. I'm not saying that you sit and you sit, there's no presence of God, but she just wants to have that no distraction. She just wants to come to the front, don't care about the neighbor left and right, just pour out her heart to the Lord. And I asked her, Sophia, can you share with me, can you share with BBTC, how do you come to this point that you desire so much the presence of God? So this is a testimony. So I'm reading on her behalf. As Pastor Jeff was asking for my testimony, the Spirit brought to remembrance the goodness of God in my life from 5 years ago since I accepted Christ. You think, no, she just came to know the Lord 5 years ago. Until now, my cup overflows and there's never enough for me to share about her goodness. I cut a lot of things. Okay, it's really a lot, okay? But let me share you a bit, okay? When I was a younger believer, I'm quite confused by much Christian stuff. In fact, there was a moment I even doubt if God exists. Even though I came to the Lord through a spectacular sign, but I was still wrestling with no desire for God and wonder why God did not remove my struggle no matter how much I've prayed. Outwardly, I was evangelizing, doing Christian things like going to church, but inwardly, I was crumbling. It was at that Alpha weekend away that God met me. During the session, there was an altar call. I was prideful. I never wanted to be vulnerable. But as the altar call was being given, I decided to test God. I told God, God, you say you are real, right? If you are real, call me lah. Call me by name. If you call me, I'll respond. If not, I will not respond. Such rebellious and an act that I have just done. But our Father God is merciful and loving. He impressed upon the heart of that facilitator who was conducting the altar call. And the next thing I knew, the facilitator put down his mic, came over, knelt down with one knee before me, and he said, Sophia, the Lord has placed your name in my heart. Would you like to come and receive ministry? I died. I just died. There and then, I couldn't help but my tears. I just want to run away from God, and God calls me. And the next moment, there's a group of facilitators who come and lay hands on me. And what was worse, they start praying over the struggles that I never tell anyone. God sought me out. He dismantled my pride, lovingly used His people to minister to me. And that was a turning point in my Christian walk. I must say, that sparked off my desire to want to know Him more and to hear Him clearly. After the encounter, the Lord continued to reveal many deep things that's in my heart. Though it was painful, but truly what carried me through were the encounters that I had as I spent time in His presence. Even though I first desired His presence out of desperation, but slowly God taught me to desire His presence the way as Moses did, the way as David did. Not to just tie through adversity, but because it is in His presence, there were so many good things. Abundance, blessing, fullness of joy, conviction of sins, favor. And I thank God that God is with me. Even right now, He's bringing me into a higher and teaching me to delight in Him, spending time with Him. Simply because I enjoy Him, He enjoys me. Much like how I would like to spend time with people whom I love. I wonder how much more He has to teach me. But this is the journey that I want to know Him. and I want to spend time with Him. I want to experience His love, and I want to learn from Him how to love others. Wow. Such intimacy is demonstrated in Sophia's journey with the Lord. The more she knows Him, the more she desires Him. Painful at times, but sweet is the relationship. The longing for daily dwelling in the presence of God reveals the intimate relationship with Him. I hope you are inspired. Just as I'm perspiring, desiring the presence of God. So what are the attributes of anointed worshipper? Dedication, dedicated devotion, daily dwelling. Next, delighting desire. This is my favorite. Delighting desire is that amazement, blissful longing for God, for who He is, for what He has done. Not only that, you want more. You thirst for more. Psalms 27 verse 4c, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Strong Concordance defines gaze as to behold, to perceive, and to contemplate with pleasure delighting. Have you ever seen something that is so awesome that you just gaze with your eyes open and sometimes with your mouth? Wow. I remember many years ago, I was at Kenting, Taiwan. Okay, I was at the highest point of the cliff as I looked down to the vast turquoise blue ocean. And the strong waves, they came crashing on the shore. Waves after waves, accompanied by strong winds blowing. I was like, wow. I remember I stand there until what it seems like eternity, gazing and delighting in that natural phenomenon. Wow, I don't feel like going anywhere else. Suddenly, I feel a tug at my shirt. Hey, it's time for me to go. My wife pulled me to the car. And after I sit in the car, my head is still looking at the beautiful ocean. This is called gaze. There must be something about God that David has such delight, have such, that it draws David's eyes and desire to gaze at the tabernacle, at the presence of God. There must be something that is so attractive. It is in that delighting desire that David strengthened himself by recognizing who God is and to render to the Lord the anointed worship. As he spent time there, he allowed the Spirit of God to speak to him. And that is where he began to write the many psalms. He began to write his journey, his ups and downs. I believe many of us, when we write journal, when we do quiet time, these are the very beautiful things that we have written down. It speaks of that journey, that gazing upon the Word of God, the presence of God. How do you know you have come to the point of delighting desire? How do you know? How do you know that when you come to God, you are so delightful? How do you know? When I can see your teeth. You will find yourself smiling. You will find yourself tearing with joy. Why do we tear with joy? Just like David. Times are hard, but he still can smile because he knows that his confidence is in the Lord. How do you know that you come to the point of delighting desire? Because there's an unspeakable joy that when you come into the presence of God. If you have just met your best friend, I'm sure you'll be smiling from cheek to cheek and you won't be frowning because you have just met someone that you love and enjoy. And that is where you have come to this point of delighting desire. In conclusion, what are the attributes of an anointed worshipper? Number one, dedicated devotion, regardless of circumstances. Number two, daily dwelling, regardless of comfort. Third point, delighting desire, regardless of the condition of your heart. Such is the posture of anointed worshipper of God. Church, today I bring you one application. I want to challenge you. If there's one thing that today, if you walk out from this place, is one thing that I would like to challenge you, is to don't just hear the message and go, but to consider to be that anointed worshipper of God. Why? Because worship matters to God. God is interested in you. And if you want to build a culture of anointed worship, it must start with you. Today, open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to lead you to be that anointed worshipper of God, regardless of your circumstances, situation, trouble, pain, in good times, in bad times, even in uncertainty. Choose to worship God with your all. I want to close with my personal journey as a worshipper of God. I'm always grateful and thankful that I'm given a privilege to serve God as a full-time worker. The interesting thing about many people whom I talk to always think that pastors and church leaders walk on cloud. Maybe there's a halo above us. But can I be honest here? I did feel that way. I felt that way initially. But about 4 years ago, as I began to serve at a higher position in church leadership, carrying heavier responsibility, I found myself getting busier. With the never-ending ministry work, demands, where we work with people, disappointments. Very often, I find myself in that overwhelmed state. But because I'm a pastor, a church leader, I pretend all is well. It is definitely not well for my soul. So, I found that attending worship service is to attend the needs of people. Meeting deadlines rather than meeting Jesus. Being pressured constantly rather than spending time in the presence of God. I sincerely thought that as I busy myself doing God's work, this was enough to worship Him. That went on for a while. Lo and behold, there was one Sunday morning, as I was still in that overwhelmed state, pretending state, the Lord in His amazing love surprised me and did something that changed my life as a worshipper of God. He used a song to draw me back to Him. I want to sing until I am lost in your love, till I'm found in your presence, worshipping before your throne, moved by your Spirit, entering into flow. How precious this moment, Lord, I want you to know. Is you who have won my heart, taken me into your arms, comforted me like a friend. Hey, your love surrounded me from the start. I never want to be apart from you ever again. The Lord used this song to draw me back to Him. It is you. It is you who have won my heart. I can't explain. I can't even write down in words. But it is the Lord from the deep that calls out from the deep within me. This became the pivotal moment of my spiritual life. I cannot neglect my relationship with God just by being busy serving Him. That day I cried uncontrollably. I can't even pay attention to what the speaker is saying. I just cry. I cry in service. I cry during altar call. I pray for people. I also cry. I go and meet my wife. I also cry. I don't know why. But I was so overwhelmed. But the Lord is dealing with me. The Lord said, my son, I just want you to enjoy me. I just want you to enjoy me. Church, I want to invite you to stand with me. Let's open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Just like 4 years ago, the Lord has called out for me. I believe today the Lord is calling out for you. My sons and my daughter, come and enjoy me. Put aside all the things that you're going to do. Come and enjoy me. Because I love you. And I have great things for you to enjoy. If today you have heard His call and you desire to come back to God, I want to give you an opportunity to make your commitment to the Lord. If this is you, wherever you are, whatever state you are in, however are your lives, as the worship team continue to minister to us, I want to invite you to join me at the front, to come wherever you are, to just enjoy our Father God. If this is you, come. Wherever you are, just enjoy Father God. One thing is needed. That is to come back to Him.
I want to say, I'm found in your
church, we have a word here. Someone is spiritually dry, feeling alone. The word for you is to come and be filled. Maybe this word doesn't just apply to one person, but maybe it applies to even more of us here. The altar is open, church. This is the place where we come and be filled. We come and experience Him all over again. Today we have learned what it means to worship Him. This is what we were created to do, to worship Him. As we continue to sing, I want to encourage you, if you want to be filled once again and be awed by who He is, if you are in pain, if you are struggling, if you are hurting for any kind, this is the place to come. Allow the Lord to minister to the deep within you. As we sing this song, I want to invite you to come here and do the very thing that you were created to do, to worship Him and see how He touches your heart. As we sing, come.
When all things that surround become shadows in the light of You, then I found the joy. When I found the joy of reaching Your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in Your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of You, then I worship You.
Yes, You worship You.
don't need another person to pray for you. The Holy Spirit is right here. That you just embrace each one of us, every one of us in this sanctuary. And we know we are standing on holy ground. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our frames, and you're meeting us exactly at the very core of our struggles and our needs. And we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. To whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And Lord, would you remove the veil in our minds, in our eyes, to see your glorious splendor. And to learn to be embraced by you, to learn to be loved by you. And to allow your light to shine into the darkness of our souls. When we have crowded you out because of our busyness, we have crowded you out because of our own problems and struggles. We thank you, you're right here.
the Most High.